Welcome to the podcast called
Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
This is a podcast where we talk about writing tips, random weird thoughts to start us off that make no sense to anyone, and
how mean Sean is to Carrie, usually.
Oh no, that's true. So hey, thanks for being here with us.
Yes, thank you very much. We hope you chuckle at least one time.
One time. So, we had no random thought, because sometimes you can't think of a random thought. So I said, why don't we look some bull S word, right? And so I put in to the Google search, bull S word, and we got the original bull S word generator.
Can I speak frankly?
No.
So it's not S word this and S word that.
Well, then I gotta put the explicit on here, boo.
Don't you have to anyways?
Well, it depends on how naughty you are.
So this is the original bullshit generator. And we're going to test it out because I'm excited about it.
All right.
Hit the button, baby.
Wait. So first off is those3words.com is to find it. And the tagline is brilliantly begetting benign buzzwords.
All right.
So it's an innovative tool, it says, that utilizes cross-platform viral AI and machine learning to revolutionize your bullshit generating experience.
Yay, you said it, baby. Give me five.
I'm so proud of me.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have, like, you can spread the bullshit and, like, link it to Facebook and stuff. And
awesome.
It's very clever. And there's a red button that I'm about to push for the very first time in my life to deliberately
generate bullshit.
Here we go.
That's not the first time you've deliberately generated BS, baby.
It says, all right, ready? Here
it is.
Yeah,
hit it.
No, it's right there, boo-boo.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. You want to say it?
Well, if the BS is going to be outside of my intelligence level, it's this intermediate cross-platform schemas.
That's the bullshit. Ready? New one.
Benchmark real-time users.
Sorry.
Aggregate virtual intermediaries. Okay, next time we go to an event where everybody thinks they're super intellectual, let's just get like 12 of these, and we'll write them down on paper and put them in our pocket.
We'll put in our hand.
Oh, yeah, like you're cheating on a test.
Yeah. The next one is generate customized dark web target 24/365 functionality.
That's my bathroom motto. What do you do for a living? I target 24/7/365 functionalities.
You made me snort. Okay, people. It is now time for the less fun part of the podcast. Because we're talking about writing.
I woke up on the wrong side of the truck bed this morning. Songwriting?
No, and you know that's the evil earworm from my personal hell.
But it's a good song.
But you just ruined my day even more.
No.
It's in my head right now.
Well, when we're done with this podcast, I'll turn the Sonos on and you can hear a new song.
Oh, man. All right. So the point of this podcast is not supposed to be Sean hurting Carrie's heart or her earworm. I don't know.
I gave you an earworm.
You gave it, but you also heard it. And you heard it. Okay, instead it's called The Elements of Storytelling, The Atomic Bomb Test. So author, podcaster, and professor Robert Prince has this thing that he does when he watches a movie, and he calls it
The Atomic Bomb Test.
And he says,
after I've watched about 20 minutes of the film, I ask myself, if an atomic bomb were to go off and destroy everyone in this film, would I care all that much?
Oh, no.
If the answer is no, I don't keep watching the film.
He says this in a class at the University of Alaska, and we have a link to that, because you can take it on edX, too. edX, yeah.
edX?
edX. Anyways, I'm kind of feeling this right now about more than movies.
What do you mean?
Communities. So, he has, anyways.
It's more applicable to communities than movies.
Right, the sugar.
Look, if your life, if you can't take 2 hours of your life and watch a film even, you know, some of the best films we watch have been the shittiest.
I know, I love a good shitty film.
At least you got something to talk about after.
Yeah. All right, so he says that he has this test because, like, to make your reader keep reading, they have to care what happens to the characters in the story. And this is true in real life, too, right? When we interact with people, most of us have levels of caring. We might worry and care more about our parent or our child when they drop the ice cream carton. The ice cream carton on their instep than about the random guy in the frozen dairy section of the grocery store when he drops that same carton, right?
Right.
But if that guy starts tearing up and maybe he's standing above the ice cream splattered all across the store's scuffed tile floor and he says, "This was for my mom and she's dying and she asked for Rocky Road ice cream and this was the last Rocky Road ice cream."
I thought I was supposed to read the quotes.
That's me. Writing. Well, yeah, we might care a bit more.
I would bend down and be like, "Come on, buddy, we'll scoop it back in here. She'll never fucking know."
Here, there's your quote, buddy.
Oh, a key component to storytelling is getting your audience to care about what happens to the characters in your story, Prince says. People stick around to hear the end of stories because they have grown to care about the people in the story and want to know what happens to them. If you've ever cried when a character died in a movie, and the filmmakers did an awesome job of making you care about the people in that film.
Why are you laughing?
Because the first thing that came to my mind crying was Old Yeller. And that was a dog. But honestly, I have possibly shed a little tear for some people in movies.
All right. So the question becomes, how do we do this, right? As authors or writers or... I don't know. I guess we could just always put a dog in there and kill the dog, but I don't really want to kill a dog.
I don't know, you know.
Not in real life, obviously. Not in real life. But in the book.
Right.
So according to Prince, how you do this is...
You can make people care about the characters in your story by describing them well enough that your audience can picture them and recognize them as a certain type of person. Maybe like someone they already know. How old are they? How do they look like? Excuse me, I was going to say that was messed up. What do they look like? What kind of personality do they have? Do they have any particular unique traits or mannerisms? This is why written news stories about people tend to include some seemingly odd and superficial facts about them at first. Those facts are not included because the reporter is particularly superficial. The reporter included those facts because they know you will not be as invested in what happened to that person if you cannot picture them in your mind.
Empathy, however, isn't just built on perfection. We wouldn't care as much about that grocery store guy with his ice cream carton if he had just done the right things, expressed no emotion, and there was a cleanup on aisle 12, right?
That's right.
So empathy builds off flaws and human worth, those virtues that we love. It's like what Blake Snyder has in Save the Cat as a trope and as an inspiration. Like, his structure is... called Save the Cat, because to make the people care about the character in your movie, you have some...
You throw an animal in there.
Yeah, like we care more characters about the characters who save the cat, or the puppy, or the zombie hamster, than we do about the characters who walk past the cat, or the puppy, or the zombie hamster that's in trouble. So...
Flaws make characters relatable, more human, and feel a little more like underdogs, Prince writes. This is why James Bond has to get beat up in every 007 movie. That's how the filmmakers show us he is human so we can relate better to him. It's the same reason Superman has kryptonite. We feel for characters when we see that they have some sort of weakness.
And the other part of that is the struggle. Like, we empathize with the characters that are having a hard time getting what they want. So to help your readers empathize with characters, you want to pass that atomic bomb test, and you do it by...
Good description and unique mannerisms. Number 2, flaws. Number 3, human worth and virtures. And number 4, struggles.
I'm good with the struggles right now, man.
You've had enough? Had enough. Like, you're invested in this story, you don't need any more struggles.
I don't need no
you
more
You need some human good and virtues.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I can understand that. Top tip for life. Haven't got to do that in a whole week.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I live for.
I know.
That and Fridays.
There's no Fridays anymore.
Yes, there is. Every week. Until I cancel the calendar. Anyways, both of our dogs were so excited about this podcast topic because they knew that they were everything in our stories.
Oh.
They were the empathy, the compassion, the things that make you want to cry. So they're like, we know you humans don't want to cry, and you're going to do everything you can to keep us alive. Can we have a treat? That was it.
I think that maybe the...
Because they're selfish.
No! I think that the point may be that, like, dogs are human worth, right? We root for dogs. Dogs make the atomic bomb test. They pass because they love, and unless they're feral, but in general, they love, they have very obvious wants, but they have things that keep them from getting the wants. Like, they can't open the pantry door because they don't have posable thumbs, so they can't get to their treats. They might not have an easy time jumping up on the bed. You know, like, their wants are simple, and we understand them, and we relate to it.
Maybe? That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And they relate to us.
You look like you had something else to say.
Well, I'm not going to say. It was not.
Was it mean to me?
No, it was about the dogs.
Was it mean to the dogs?
No, it wasn't mean about the dogs. It was about when you said feral dogs, and I was thinking about our one dog that sometimes, like, is under the covers with us and growls.
Yeah, she'd be feral.
And then I was like, some people just don't know the challenges and the fear of sleeping with a dog that, as a male, that growls under the covers when you're naked at night.
Maybe you should wear clothes. Maybe you should be like PJ Daddy.
It's too hot. That sounds naughty.
No, no. Like, oh, man. I hate the podcast.
Too hot for clothes, baby.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. All the podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack or CarrieJonesBooks.blog. The awesome music was available via the Creative Commons, and it's being clipped. There's someone singing outside the window
but
right now.
They're not singing our song.
But that is Broke for Free, and the song is Summer Spliff.
Everybody's favorite.
I wish. I'd probably be less cranky.
Yes, you would be less cranky.